I'm Sabrina Petrofessa.
And I'm Lily Rugo.
And this is Earth's Mightiest Fangirls.
We are back. Fully. It's like we are fully back. This isn't a half episode. We're actually talking about a show. We're getting back to the MCU today.
We're back with Agent Carter.
Season 2.
As we all know, I have an intense love for Peggy Carter. And I also have so many conflicting feelings about this season. But before we get into anything involving Agent Carter, we need to share some news with you guys. Before we started recording, I told Lily about someone who starred in Crazy Rich Asians, which Lily is obsessed with. Gemma Chan was dating some comedian from, like, a British comedian who is way, like, not good enough for her.
Yeah, Gemma Chan played Astrid in the show, who's, like, the perfect wife, and she is, like, she is a goddess. I adore Gemma Chan. So I had to Google whoever this ex-boyfriend was, and then I was like, okay, and then I saw her photo, so I followed the link. And then I saw a news headline about her current boyfriend, so I had to share it.
Who is her current boyfriend, Lily?
Howard Stark.
I cannot get over this.
She's dating Dominic Cooper. As of 2 days ago, they went public. And it's wild. I can't believe how this fits into our lives. Also, I didn't realize he was an English actor.
He is, yes. By the time this comes out, too, it'll be like a week since that news has come out, but this is brand new information for us.
Brand new information. He's a little bit closer to her league. In my opinion, no one will be good enough for Gemma Chan, but I will take Howard Stark, maybe. I don't know.
I mean, I think that's miles better, actually. Like, I love Jack Whitehall, but he is so ridiculous. Like, as a human being, he kind of is a joke. Which is why I love him, because, like, yeah, he's a comedian and he's funny, but, like, when I picture Gemma Chan's boyfriend, I would have never pictured Jack Whitehall.
Yeah.
But I can picture her with Dominic Cooper.
Yeah. Good looking dude.
And wild. Also before we get started, I have a story for you, Lily.
Okay. She's been saving this.
I have been saving this for, like, 2 weeks. Okay. So, I think this is, like, 2 weeks ago. You know, as you know, I'm in Thailand. And I went out to dinner with one of the other teachers here, the American teachers. And we go to this restaurant, and it's kind of like a bar-type place. So, there's TVs. And guess what movie is playing?
I'm trying to think of, like, Winter Soldier?
Iron Man 3.
But guess what?
There's no sound, and the subtitles are in Thai. So I look over, and I'm like, oh my god, Iron Man 3 is on. And then I just start saying, like, this is what's happening in this scene right now. And then 2 hours later, I'm still narrating the movie. We spent the whole dinner, no conversation. I narrated the entirety of Iron Man 3 to her.
Oh my god, that is impressive.
But you know that movie. This is what's happening right now. Like, oh, like, Tony just made this, like, comment about how his whole life is just, like, witty one-liners and a cheap trick. Like, I genuinely was just narrating it. And I kept telling her, I was like, you don't have to humor me. Like, you can just tell me to stop. And she was like, no, I'm, like, kind of into it now. Like, she had moved her body to face the TV to listen to me and watch.
Oh my god, that's impressive. Good job doing our boy proud.
Like, I still can't believe that I did that for 2 hours. And then the next day I went into the office and Iron Man 3 was playing on the TV in the office.
Oh my god.
So
that channel really likes Iron Man 3. Were people around you, like, could anyone else hear you? Were they also getting, like, Loki into
No, it movie? Was pretty, it was pretty empty, but even if anyone was around me, I'm in Thailand. No one understood me.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if you were, like, at an expat bar or something.
Oh, no, it's, like, where I live. Like, oh, we okay. were... And there's not really any expats here.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So I guess now we should actually start talking about Peggy Carter.
Oh, yeah. So we're we're into season two, which I'd never seen. For some reason, I forgot. I never saw season two. So, yeah. It was a good rewatch, which I did in the past, like, 36 hours. Not rewatch. First time watch. Mm-hmm. It's by ABC, because most of their... Most of what Marvel does on TV is by ABC. It came out in 2011 from January to March, starring the best girl, Hayley Atwell,
James Darcy. The love of my life.
Truly. James Darcy, Chad Michael Murray, but is it really starring Chad Michael Murray? And I can't say this name, even though he plays one of my, he plays Sousa. Enver G-J-O-K-A-J.
I can't say it either. I can't help you with that.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but you did a really good job as Pete Sousa. The showrunners are... Wait, where did the showrunners go?
We're so prepared, guys.
This is what editing is for. Okay, Tara Butters, Michelle Fazekas, and Chris Dinges, I'm going to assume it's Dinges, served as showrunners again. I believe they returned from season one. Also, fun fact... My roommate, Joyce, she has a family friend who was one of the head writers for Agent Carter Season 2.
Nice.
Yeah.
If we were at all organized, we would have been like, reached hey, out. Could you, like, get them to talk to us?
Next time.
But we're not, because we're just, like, random fangirls who decide to talk about things that we like.
Yes. So, since this was my first watch through, I didn't realize you had so many strong opinions. Let's go. Let's get into this.
I mean, okay, so, quick preface. I've watched the season twice, and I did not watch it recently. I watched it within the last year, but I haven't watched it to prepare for this episode.
Mm-hmm.
I like this season, and I love Peggy, obviously, and I'm so happy that, like, we get to see Peggy interact with more women in this season.
Mm-hmm.
But so much of what I loved about season one is no longer there. I loved seeing Peggy in New York and in that, like, environment. And I loved seeing her deal day to day with, like, many of the other agents in her office. And I loved Lindsay Finesca's character. What was her name? The diner Angie. Girl. Angie. I loved Angie.
Mm-hmm.
And then this season happens. They're in California. Angie could have clearly been able to go to California with her, by the way, because, you know, that's where all the actresses are.
Truly,
who is the villain of this season is an actress.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. I don't know. I just, like, you took... A lot of what I thought was fun and magical about season one was no longer there.
I'd agree with that. I thought the women that they introduced in this character was, or thought the women that they introduced in this season was a lot more interesting, making her, because we had the main actress, or the main villain is Whitney Frost, this big Hollywood actress, and then we brought back Dottie Underwood, the Russian spy. And then we had,
for
like
a couple of episodes, yeah.
Yeah, I liked seeing her again, though.
Oh, no, I love Dottie. I was really glad that she did come back, but...
Yeah, that actress did a really good job. So I was interested in seeing the women, but I was really mad that they moved out to... That, like, the whole show moved out to L.A. Because I just felt like most of what we know of Marvel, especially with regards to, like, Peggy, is New York City. So I was really sad to see her get removed from that. And then, spoiler alert, I was really sad to see that she stayed in L.A. She's a New Yorker. Not really. She's a Londoner. But I'm mad that she stayed out in L.A.
She's just a Brit. Oh, but I liked her in New York. So I can kind of understand the move, right? It's a symbolic move away from Steve.
Oh, yeah. I thought that would already been was already done at the end of season one.
I mean, that was, like, her closure.
Oh, yeah.
Of, like, her going, okay, like, I'm done protecting you. I'm done holding on to the memory of you.
Yeah.
But her leaving New York was the clear, like, movement away from him and, like, the step, the, like, clear step after closure that moved away from Steve and to Sousa.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? So I kind of don't like this. I guess what I don't like about that is, like, the weird romantic motivation to it.
Yeah, because,
like, not... I don't watch Peggy Carter for her romance. I don't give a crap who she marries. I want to know her cool spy stuff.
Yeah.
And I would prefer it to be in New York.
Truly, yeah. In the end speech, Jarvis is trying to convince her, like, it seems like California has rather agreed with you. And he's trying to list off reasons, but we never really saw her, like, in the city of Los Angeles, because a lot of what they're doing wasn't happening in the city. So when it was just like, when he's like, it seems like Los Angeles agreed with you, it's like, since when?
Yeah, I just
she really did move out here. Also, I realized earlier I called him Pete Sousa, who was the photographer for the Obama White House. His name is Daniel.
Yeah, I was confused when you said Pete. I was like, I'm gonna go with it just because I haven't watched it in a while, but that sounds wrong.
Yeah, no, I highly recommend Pete Sousa's photography, but this is Daniel Sousa, as we were.
And also, I feel like this season focused on romance too much.
Yeah, I was really unhappy with, because, hang on. They introduced a second love interest to kind of make a love triangle, who for a hot sec, I was confused, because, like, I thought Endgame was Sousa, but maybe I just didn't know my Marvel lore. And then he mentioned he was in the war, too, and I was just like, wait, I'm kind of misremembering everything. And then they just threw it away. So I didn't really understand why they introduced it to begin with.
I mean, we're talking about Jason, right?
Jason, yeah. Dr. Jason Wilkes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they introduced him for many reasons, right? They introduced him to create a foil against Whitney.
Yeah.
And to have a black character, because I'm pretty sure they got some backlash after season one and having no POC.
Yeah, no, I'm not mad that he as a character is introduced. I was mad that he was a love interest for, like, half the season, and then they threw that whole thing away.
No, I'm not, like, arguing anything. I'm just, like, bringing up the reasons, you know? So, foil for Whitney.
Yeah.
First POC.
Yeah.
And love interest for Peggy because Sousa is engaged.
Yeah, at that point, we assumed Sousa had moved on.
We see him again, and he's engaged to a nurse.
Yeah, who's really sweet.
Oh, yeah, no, I love her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the one thing I liked.
I feel so bad for her, too. I'm like, oh, you poor woman. Like,
yeah. That is one thing I liked about this show, is the women were all, like, independent and their own people in their own right. She wasn't just, like, the bitch who took away Sousa. She was, like, Sousa really loved her for a little bit. He did in his own way, but then there's Peggy, and it's always Peggy for him.
Well, the other great thing about her, too, is that she never had any ill will towards Peggy.
Yeah.
Like, there's no catfighting. Peggy's not, like, mad at her for falling in love with Sousa, and mm-hmm. she's not mad at Peggy for stealing the affection
mm-hmm.
of Sousa when, mm-hmm. like, he's her fiance, you know?
Yeah.
Like, none of that was happening. Like, they were all interacting with each other in a way that wasn't, like, that classic catfighty, mm-hmm. obnoxious way.
Yeah, they both understood where the other person was coming from.
Yeah, and it's not like anything had ever actually happened with him and Peggy, and, like...
Yeah.
There was no reason to be angry, and there was just so much happening. And I was so happy that nothing went there.
Yeah, yeah.
But getting back to Jason.
Yes.
Like, I'm not mad that he exists. I think he's a very interesting character, and he's mm-hmm. very interesting in relation to Whitney. Not that the struggle of black people in America, specifically in the 40s and 50s, is similar or the same to sexism, but they have, like, similar paths in that nobody thinks that they're as smart as they are.
Yeah, yeah.
Because of their gender and race.
Right. Yeah.
Which I think are very interesting foils to each mm-hmm. other, because Whitney goes into the insane power mad self, mm-hmm. and Jason maintains, like, no, I just want to do science for science. Like,
mm-hmm.
let's not take over the world.
Yeah.
Because we're one of the idiots who lives in it, you know? Like,
right, yeah.
It's like that whole thing. So I think they're very interesting together. Mm-hmm. And I think what I didn't like about his character was that he becomes, like, this, like, person for Peggy to witness racism happen.
Yeah, because I guess, I feel like she shouldn't, nothing about Jason's treatment should have really surprised her, and it didn't, because I guess, I don't know.
No, but there's that scene where they're at a phone booth together, and then she needs change or something, so she goes into
a deli diner
or something. And the guy behind the counter starts getting, like, really up in arms about the fact that this white woman is with a black man. And
yeah.
And then Peggy gets very, like, up in arms about the fact that this man is making assumptions about the black man that she's with. And I think, like, end of the day, it sticks out in my mind so clearly. Yeah. I feel like at the end of the day, it reflects poorly on Peggy. Because if anyone would know that kind mm-hmm. of thing, right, it would be someone like Peggy, who has spent most of her career spying from the outside and not being in the most, like, respectable of places and mm-hmm. hanging out with other... She spent a lot of her time with the Howling Commandos.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them was Triplet. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know what... I wanted to call him Trip because Trip from Agents, but one of them was him, and one of them was the Asian guy. I can't remember his name.
I don't remember. I just remember he was born in Fresno.
Yes. Because that's, like, his only line. Yep. You know, so there's the two of them, and presumably she spent a lot of time with them, and presumably she spent a lot of time talking to them about their lives and what they did before the war and, like, maybe how they were treated. And I can't fathom that there wasn't even one conversation where the two of them specifically would say something along the lines of, yeah, there's no way we would have ever been in a unit like this without Captain America, because, like, of how we're treated in the army and how we're treated outside of the army, and, like, having those kind of conversations.
Yeah. Yeah, that was, now that I'm remembering, God, I don't know why I forgot this scene, but yeah, she shouldn't have been that surprised, because it's not like black people were treated very well in New York. So it was a weird reflection of just, like, did you forget racism existed?
Yeah, and the other part of it, too, was that she got so up in arms about it, and she spent the whole entire first season being like, well, these guys are sexist. There's nothing I can do except, like, play that to my advantage.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I get that it's a different situation. Like, she was very much, like, aware of what was happening and was kind of manipulating everyone around her to do what she wanted them to do.
Mm-hmm.
But to have that kind of situational awareness in that situation, like, in her workspace, you would think she takes that out into, like, the world, too.
Yeah, for the most part, we see that she does, but...
And I think it was also a way to get her to, like, stand up for the minority, in, you know?
Yeah, like, yeah.
To not be, like, some person who's just, like, going along with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's also clear that in that moment, Jason doesn't want her to do anything, and he's kind of just like, I'll just leave, like, it's fine, like...
Yeah, because at this point, they are being chased.
They are being chased. Like, she's just trying to get changed to talk to someone on the telephone. I think probably Jarvis. I think she's trying to call Jarvis to pick her up or something. But, you know, yeah. Like, it's just a very interesting, ridiculous moment. And but the other thing is, if you're going to do the whole storyline and talk about the racism, do it. Like, that's the only time they do it.
Truly, I was... I was kind of amazed later on in the series. I mean, he mentions it a few times about, like, how he's a genius. Jason Wilkes is a physicist, I believe, or something like that.
And if he was white, he'd probably be Howard Stark.
Truly. And so, like, they mentioned that he's, you know, one of the most brilliant minds, blah, 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 and he was in the war, and he was an engineer, and then when he got back from the war, no one would hire him except for this evil company. And then he mentions a little bit about, like, people like me, people who look like my kind, stuff like that. But other than that, and I'm not saying, like, they should have been historically accurate, but he didn't face as much racism as I know others did in the 50s. Not others, but, like, he didn't face as much racism as there was in the 50s.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm talking about. Like, we spent the whole first season watching Peggy go through the shitstorm that is sexism in the 40s.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, like, they could have written it off because, like, again, he had a whole thing where he didn't really leave the lab because he was an explosion. He was technically kind of like a ghost type thing. So he didn't leave a lot. So we didn't see a lot of scenes of him in society. But in the times when we did see him with other people, they really...
I know, but if they wanted to go for it, they could have added more characters of color. Like, did he not have a sister?
Yeah.
Or parents? Or friends? Honestly, I guess he wouldn't have friends. I mean, he doesn't seem like the type to have friends.
It didn't seem like people really wanted to socialize with him at his work. But also, whenever we introduce the, like, very stereotypical Italian mobsters, I am surprised that they were, for as civil as they were for, like, beating him up, I thought that was where we would see more of the racism when we introduce mobsters, but I guess not. Or, like, the police officers?
I mean, not that I know much about actual mafia, but, like, I don't know a lot, but what I do know is that most, like, real mafia men are pretty classy, at least, like, in that time period. They were pretty classy.
Yeah.
Like, they only, like, there are stories about Al Capone where he used to, like, if someone got caught in the crosshairs, he would, like, pay for anything that he caused damage, like,
oh yeah,
like pay for funeral expenses or send flowers, like that kind of stuff. Like, if someone got caught, like, that he would do that kind of thing,
right?
Not but, to be like a mafia apologist, says the Italian girl.
But there were other times when they introduced outside white characters that I thought that it wasn't historically accurate.
Yeah, especially the way they
treated
the police
him, treated Jason. Yeah.
Like you were saying earlier, like right before I cut you off about the mafia, but like, yeah, when you brought up the police, I was like, yeah, oh my God, like I completely forgot that they get involved.
Yeah, it's only for like an episode or two, but.
But still, yeah. Like that would make sense that like.
The police would hate a black man? The LAPD would have an issue with a black man?
Yes! But they could have made like a interesting connection there.
Honestly, there was a scene where the police chief went to go get a drink, and then something happened, and then Jason went to go get a drink, and we saw them for a second at a water fountain, and I thought, like, that was gonna be a moment, and then they threw in some, like, weird science, magic power, sci-fi stuff, and then and then they moved on. So I thought that was the most we were gonna see for a second.
Yeah, like him having to go to a different water fountain or something.
Yeah, like the chief would tell him to get out of there or something, and then something completely different happened.
Yeah, and like, it's not like I'm asking to see racism on my screen because I see enough of it.
Yeah, we're not lamenting the loss of racism here.
But so much of what Agent Carter was in season one was watching this woman deal with something that was so prevalent in that era and is still affecting us now. So they could have done something very similar with racism because it was so prevalent in that era and it was very obvious in that era and it still exists and affects people to this day. So they could have done something very cool there and it just didn't happen.
Yeah. And it's not because Los Angeles was just post-race. It's they just didn't do it. It has nothing to do with the change of setting. California is not much better.
I know. So, yeah. Anyway, I think that's actual, as much as we can talk about that.
Yeah, to the actual plot of the thing. I enjoyed a lot of the plot of it, even if I wasn't... I was more invested in the characters than I was mm-hmm. in what was happening.
I mean, I don't remember much of the plot. I like what they were trying to do with Whitney and say, like, oh, she's aged out of being an actress, even though she's still clearly young and beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the idea is that, like, she might be 35 and therefore too old for Hollywood.
Yeah, and, like, clearly she's still young and beautiful and, like, can still get it, but mm-hmm. that's not what's happening. And, like, you kind of spend the first part of the season thinking the big bad is, like, her husband, but it's not.
Mm-hmm.
And then she becomes a big bad, and you learn about her and how she's also got a brilliant mind.
Yeah, she's kind of... And they mentioned the actress, but she seemed like she was based off Hedy Lamarr, the actress of that era who was gorgeous.
Yes, and she's the reason smart. She's the reason we have Wi-Fi.
Yes, Hedy Lamarr. Yeah. So she's kind of based off of that.
We should totally find something about her and link to her in show notes, because Hedy Lamarr is a really cool person.
Yeah. And so I liked that they were able to kind of take that trope and just show how all of these... Because we go in a little bit, there's an episode where we see, like, flashbacks of Peggy's life, childhood growing up, and then flashbacks of Whitney's life growing up. And
which I think is actually the best episode of the season.
Yeah, and it's just all the different ways that they were told no and tramped down in life. And so the reason Whitney becomes a big bad is there's a science explosion at this lab, and then this, like, space goop comes through and it affects Whitney.
Like negative zero gravity something?
Zero matter.
I don't know what they call it. Zero matter.
So it's this black space goop. It affects Whitney and she kind of gets these... I don't know what you call them, but she can, like, absorb stuff power. She can, like, if she touches you for long enough and
she... Isn't it that she, like, is absorbing matter?
Yeah. And the opposite happened. That's Jason's thing, is it did the opposite to him and it made him a ghost. But the important thing is Whitney now has all of this power and she's so friggin' smart that we see how what happens whenever she can finally do what she wants, and also
it
zero
makes
matter
her literally crack.
Yeah. Oh, on her face, yes. As the more lives she takes, the more this, like, spider web vein of black goop shows in her face. And it's also, I do maintain that she wouldn't have gone completely bonkers. I think the zero matter was affecting her, but it's just what happens whenever she finally can do what she wants. And that was interesting to watch after being told no forever.
Yeah, but I really like that episode where we see her life story, because mm-hmm. it rings so true to, like, a girl's upbringing still.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, I feel like it rung true a bit with me where, like, you know, my mom was always worried about me looking ladylike and looking
mm-hmm.
pretty and making sure I was presentable. And, I mean, like, she worried about all of her children being presentable, including my brother. But, I like, the way that it affected me definitely affected him in a different way. Like, mm-hmm. because I was getting it from my mom and I was getting it from the media and I was getting it from this. Like, how girls are supposed to present themselves, and they're supposed to be pretty, and they're supposed to be nice, and they're supposed to be cute and adorable mm-hmm. and hot and sexy, and, like, not that I was getting hot and sexy for my mom, but, like,
yeah,
you know, like, you have to be all of these, like, beautiful, attractive, feminine things.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I could relate to that in a way, because it takes away from being smart and, like, placing the emphasis on the fact that she was really freaking smart as a kid.
She put together a broken radio when she was, like, I assume, like, eight or ten in that scene. Yeah.
She's, like, another character that if, you know, she were a man, she would have been Howard Stark.
And, yeah, and then at one point Howard even says that, like, she's ridiculously smart.
Yeah. So, like, It's kind of interesting to see her character and see her grow and see her collapse and
mm-hmm.
that whole thing happen.
Yeah.
Because it's awesome.
Yeah, I was really... I mean, it made sense, the arc that she took and the way the zero matter was affecting her brain. But I was sad in the end to see her actually put in a mental institution with a straitjacket on. And, like, that is quite an image for a woman of that time to see again. Because she also,
yeah.
she she did kind of, and I'm using air quotes, need a straitjacket because the power was taken out of her, and that was when she really, she didn't have any mental stability, and she was looking for it, so she would claw at her face to get, like, where the scar used to be, so that's why she was in a straitjacket. So, like, there were reasons, and we understand how we got there, but again, it was just such an image to see this woman locked away and broken.
Yeah, I mean, I think with shows like this, because the show is so centered around women, I'm kind of not concerned over how the characters are portrayed in with like minute details. Like, not that that's not minute, it's just like that specifically, right?
Yeah.
Is that we saw this character become and go insane because of how this substance affected her.
Yeah, like, it definitely made sense, but I feel like it was also, I thought it was on purpose, and I thought it was an interesting touch that they did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if it's a show with less women in the show, right, mm-hmm. then it kind of touches, and you go, it doesn't look so great.
Yeah. Like, there's a moment of just, like, the men kind of think, not that she's crazy, but, you know, it's the kind of, like, brushing her off for her brains, and then we actually see her go legitimately crazy, and I was just like, oh man, what an arc.
Yeah, but I kind of like how the mafia dude is like, seeing you go crazy, still love you anyway,
right? Of all,
like,
of the,
hell yeah, love my sexy lady over here.
Of all of the, like, stereotypes, I think the Italian mafia was the biggest one in season two.
They but went it in, was the best one. It was so funny.
They went in hard for the Italian mafia.
I like, love the moment when he's talking to his grandmother and he says something like, hey, you like my pasta, eh? Hey, nonna, you like my pasta? And she's, like, screaming in Italian. She's like, your pasta's shit. Like, he's like, you have really bad sauce. And I'm laughing. I just love that whole situation. Because, first of all, my grandmother would never be so, like... She would never do that. Second of all, my grandmother would be cooking for me. I was so confused mm-hmm. by this whole situation, like, as to why he's cooking for her. Because there's no universe in which I would be capable of cooking for my grandmother, because my grandmother would slap me silly, tell me to go sit on the couch while she cooked for me. It does not matter that she is decades older than me. She would knock me down and make sure I was out of the kitchen.
They got their Italian culture wrong.
I just thought it was funny, you know? Yeah. Like, I'm not, like, really trying to poke holes at how they portrayed Italian people. It's just kind of, it's like a very funny, like, scene to me.
Yeah. I've seen that actor elsewhere and, like, playing the, like, wholesome dad figure, and I was like, all right, sir.
I feel like he's always playing, like, the wholesome idiot.
Yeah. That's where I've seen him. Anyways.
Yeah. Yeah, anyway. Moving on. Haha. Let's talk about, finally, we get to see Mrs. Jarvis.
I love the Jarvises so much. I love Mr. Jarvis and his wife.
But I love the relationship between Anna and Peggy.
Yeah.
Because it's another situation where you could have had this, like, female character come in and be like, I don't like how much time you're spending with my husband.
Right? Yeah.
But instead it was like, I love you. I love that you get him out of the house. Like, mm-hmm. I think you guys are the best of friends. I want to be your best friend.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was, like, all love and no, like, petty jealousy.
Yeah, because she knew that her husband needed this, and she knew that Peggy needed her husband. And I figure, like, any time Jarvis is spending with Peggy is a lot less harmful than time he's spending with Howard Stark, so...
Yeah. But, like, again, it's just such a good... I love seeing it, and it was so heartbreaking to see Anna in the hospital.
Yeah, truly. Whitney, to buy some time... At first, she's just like, I'm not going to shoot you because we're not monsters. And then she needs to buy time, and then she shoots Anna. Not a kill shot, but it's pretty close.
It's, like, in the abdomen, and then it's mm-hmm. revealed later that, like, it affects her ability to have children.
yeah, the surgery made, like, did things to her body, and that was really heartbreaking.
And she can no longer have children, which, so heartbreaking for Jarvis and so heartbreaking for Anna. Yeah. And I, like, can't get over how sad that was. But, like, part of me... You know what? Never mind. It was a very sad moment, and it wasn't actually painted as, like, this is worse than death, you know?
Yeah, it's just loss, because as soon as the doctor tells Mr. Jarvis this, you realize that, like, that was probably something they've been thinking about. Like, that is something that that they would have wanted, and now that it's not an option, you see, yeah, not worse than death, but you see, like, it's a major loss for these two people.
Yeah, but I just think that, like, so often in the media, you see something like this portrayed as, like, oh, this is worse than if she had died.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like, for
her
sure.
Inability to have children is where... Age of
defines
Ultron.
Yeah.
Age of Ultron. You know? Mm-hmm. And if you have not listened to our Age of Ultron episode, go back and listen to it, because then that comment will make a lot more sense.
Yeah.
So I was happy that it wasn't like
the end of her life.
Than death. Like, yeah, it was like, no, like she's alive. And Jarvis was clearly happier to see her alive than like be able to have kids. You know, like that didn't change his love for her.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He was just glad she was alive, because that man sat by her bedside the entire time, and if there was ever a moment for me to cry watching that show, it was then.
Yeah, because we see him as, like, the perfect English butler.
Broken.
Yeah, and he looks awful. He looks like he hasn't gotten any sleep. Like, applause to that makeup department, because Jarvis looked terrible while he was by Anna's bedside.
He was broken.
Yeah, the part that got me is, so I guess this is a recurring theme in their marriage, or their relationship, but, like, he's like, oh, I promise this, and she's like, don't make promises you can't keep. So then, trying to get her to wake up out of the, like, post-surgery coma or whatever, he's just making promises that, from, like, past conversations of, like, I promise that I'll wear the tie that you made for me, I promise that I'll make apple tort once a week, I promise dog, and I was just like, oh my god. He's like, I promise anything if you just wake up. And I was like, oh my god. The Jarvises.
Yeah. It really kills ya. It really kills ya. Yeah. But on a happier note of the Jarvises, can we go back to how, like, Howard Howard introduces the new Jarvis system?
I love the little line. It really was just for the fans of, like, oh, I don't want to be remembered as a disembodied voice for the rest of my life. And I was like, all right, you did that one on purpose.
I mean, clearly, clearly. But I just really needed to bring that up to lighten the mood. And honestly, I'm about to just make it so much worse again. The fact that Anna can't have children makes his relationship with Tony...
It makes
so much more heartbreaking.
Oh, I said sense, but yes, heartbreaking is also another way to describe it.
Because Jarvis saw that kid, saw the way Howard was treating him, and went, this is my kid now.
Yeah. I
can't have kids, but now it's you.
Did Tony ever mention Anna?
No. But, like, honestly, in the movies, they don't talk about real person Jarvis
past.
Very often.
Yeah. So, like, I don't know. As soon as that whole thing happened, I headcanoned that, like, of course the Jarvises took in Tiny Tony.
Yeah.
He probably grew up eating wonderful Hungarian food.
Yeah. I mean, I still think that, like, there is no universe in which Tony doesn't know Peggy.
Oh,
personally,
yeah.
Personally, on a personal level.
Yeah,
but
like,
that's
Aunt Peggy.
Neither here nor there.
Anyways.
That's for a future episode.
Yes. But speaking of Howard, Gemma Chan's boyfriend, I really enjoy his character. I like seeing... We get just enough Howard in season 2 and season 1. We get just enough Howard that he's not grating. He's just... He's kind of fun. It's kind of fun to see.
Yeah, I love when Howard shows
Tony.
Up and he does
not
the science.
Not this Tony. This Howard, yeah.
He just shows up and does some science and he's like, science! and then he just, like, goes away again.
Yeah, I also
and he
I love
back and he's science.
his relationship with Peggy I also truly love, which we kind of see a flashback of the Jarvises of, like, Anna's like, oh, I guess just another, like, woman in Howard's life. And Jarvis is, Mr. Jarvis is like, I think he respects her. And the way that they play off each other, it's just, like, two very annoyed siblings with each other. Of, like, yeah. She understands Howard, and Howard usually never has, like, any, like, thoughts about Peggy. So it's nice to see them interact.
Yeah. I really like the whole dynamic between, and we got into it so much in the season one episode two.
It's yeah, that was mostly dynamic. More. Yeah, it's just fun.
It's such a good one.
Yeah,
I like seeing them together. I think the two actors also have a very good, like, chemistry. Mm-hmm. Like, they're clearly friends, and, like, you have to be, like, honestly, gonna link to this too. Have you ever seen the T-shirt that Hayley Atwell made of Dominic Cooper?
No.
So it's like Dominic Cooper, it's a picture of him, and he was on set as Howard Stark, and he looks like totally out of it. Like, either it looks like maybe he was like hanging upside down, but it's like the most ridiculous photo.
Right.
Of him ever. And so at the end of the end of season two, when they wrapped up, she gifted the whole cast and crew these, like, giant blankets with that photo. right there.
God.
Like, it's the whole blanket is just the photo, and, like, there are T-shirts that exist, too. And it's
I love
so
Hayley
funny.
Atwell. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I think there's a link to her talk. There's a YouTube clip of her talking on a late-night show about it, yeah. So I'm going to link to that in the comments and the episode notes.
Good.
On the website, because it's important information. Everyone needs to see this picture. It's incredible.
So the Marvel cast seems like they always have so much fun together. It's nice.
Yeah. I mean, like, Nothing really beats that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. versus Agent Carter dub battle.
Oh my god.
Dub smash battle.
Wow, TBT.
That one was great. Because the fact of the matter is that the Agents cast was never, other than, what's his name? Clark Gregg.
Oh.
They were never going to do the crazy stuff that Haley did, which was fly out to the set where Steve, where freaking Chris Evans was to make a lip dub or dub smash.
Yeah. Oh my God. I forgot about all of that.
Yeah.
Man.
I will also link to this because it's
please do. This needs
so
to be remembered.
Good. People need to see this. Like, those were all taken down, I think, but someone, like, saved them for prosperity and put them all in one video on YouTube, so they exist somewhere.
Blessed. Doing the Lord's work.
Yeah. Nothing will ever beat that one where, like, it's literally, like, I don't even remember what the song is, but all of a sudden Chris Evans shows up and, like, I just started screaming. Because I was like, oh my God, what the hell is happening right now?
Yeah.
Like, they literally flew out to just get the upper hand.
I assume that ended the battle then, right? Because, like, agents couldn't
top
that.
Actually, the end of that battle, they ended up doing, like, a dub smash for charity.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
In which, like, you paid, like, to be on one of the sides, like Agent Carter or Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I actually did, like, literally donate $20 to that.
Which one?
Like, Agent Carter. Agent Carter, yeah. Obviously.
Okay, yeah.
I'm sorry. I just, like, obviously Agent Carter.
Yeah.
And then that culminated in Hayley Atwell versus Clark Gregg on the, what's that competition?
Lip sync battle.
They ended up on lip sync battle against each other.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. I'll have to watch all of this. We'll have to link it.
Yeah, man. I'll link to all of it. It's incredible.
The cast's always, I mean, like, I guess we'll get into it because they're getting the last few minutes here, but the cliffhanger at the end of the show was interesting, but I really wanted a season three just to see this cast together again.
I mean, the only cliffhanger really is that, what, Jack Thompson
useless
got shot.
I'm okay with that. Like, I don't... I'm if okay. we get I a season three... Yeah, if we get a season three, I don't want to see Thompson alive. I want to see everyone mourning him because he was useless. I'm so mad he was in season two as much as he was.
I'm sorry, I just have to get into it, but like, he spent the whole season actively working against Peggy.
Always.
Even threatening her with, like, a fake file, being like, hey, man, like, I'm going to release this if you ever say anything about what happened to me.
In the
like,
war.
That really horrible story I told you in the war. And Peggy, like, I love her reaction to it. She's like, yeah, release it. All of that's fake. What I have on you is actually truthful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, like, you're about to release fake files about me, which honestly is super risky because at the end of the day, no one was going to believe Peggy because it's the 1950s and she's a woman.
Yeah. Also, I couldn't tell. I'll go back. Never mind. I won't say it. But, yeah, no, Thompson was actually the worst, and I was really mad that he was in half the season. When Peggy went to L.A., and I was like, cool, at least we don't have to deal with him anymore. And then he also ended up in California, and I was like, of course you did.
Because his boss was like, you need to follow her. Mm-hmm. What's she still doing out there? She should come back because she's not supposed to be in California.
Yeah. Also, his boss, it's another whole plot is that, like, pre-Hydra type thing, but, like, there's a cabal of very powerful old white men who control everything, and Peggy's trying to bring them down. So one of the boss... Thompson's boss is one of those men, and he's just actively working against Peggy, stuff like that.
Oh, but that also does bring us to a really great scene where, like, no women are allowed into that clubhouse that Howard has been invited to a million times. So he finally is like, I'm gonna go! And he invites, like, 1,000 ladies just to provide cover for...
Yeah, that was Peggy's plan.
For Peggy. Yeah, no. It was Peggy's plan, but it's such a great scene.
Truly, it's like peak Howard and peak Peggy. I love when... It's a weird sentence, but I love whenever Peggy plays dumb in American accent because you're just so, like, true spy work at hand. Like, I don't know what's happening. You're just really disoriented for a second when she starts speaking in a high-pitched American accent.
I just love seeing her, like, be a spy.
Yeah, yeah.
Is really good because you don't really get to see it outside of this series.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really fun to actually see because you saw her as the soldier in Captain America.
Yeah.
And then when we glimpse her in Agents, she's still just kind of like, she's like the commander, the leader.
Yeah.
And when we saw her in Ant-Man, she was like aged.
Yeah. Yeah. And, like, at that point,
still the leader.
Yeah.
Director of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, so we never really get to see her at her, like, peak element, which is as a spy. Which I also really liked in the flashback episode that we got to see how she ended up where she did. How she ended as a spy.
Wait, side note. Have there only ever been two directors of S.H.I.E.L.D.? Peggy and then Nick Fury?
How old is that man?
He's old. I think.
Three. Four. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. started messing with the canon. Because it went to Coulson and then fake guy.
No. Just, I mean, like, before all of that. It doesn't matter. I don't care about what happens post-Nick Fury.
Oh, so, like, pre-Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've only had two.
That's crazy. It went straight from Peggy Carter, badass lady,
to badass
black
man. To
in-charge badass black guy.
Yeah, because, yeah, S.H.I.E.L.D. isn't technically that old. If she started it, I assumed this is where they were going to take season three of Peggy's going to see the SSR is full of useless old white men, so she's going to start S.H.I.E.L.D. Yeah. And I kind of want to see season three because we might have gotten a tiny Nick Fury. So then we would have, that's how they would come together. Because Nick Fury served in World War II, didn't he? No, he's not that old. No. He's not that old. Why did I thought I read that somewhere. I guess I was wrong. Anyways, I could see Tiny Nick Fury signing up for S.H.I.E.L.D. and being like, yeah.
I mean, it's possible in comic canon he served World War II, but not.
Yeah.
Not in current MCU canon.
Okay.
But the other part of the season two finale was that, oh, hey, Sousa and Peggy finally get together.
Mm-hmm. Which I was okay with.
Oh, yeah, no, I have no problem with it. I just think it's very interesting that, like, after Peggy gets impaled, she gets impaled at some point in the season, and they take her to Sousa's fiance, and then, like, Sousa's like, just like sitting there in love with her. And then his fiance is just like, what?
Yeah.
And then she's like, okay, like, clearly you're not actually in love with me and you're really in love with her, so let's just end things right here.
Yeah.
No hard feelings. Just stop it because you're in love with her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I did ship it. I mean, but I also just don't care about the romance in this show. End of the day, we didn't spend a lot of time actually talking about Peggy, but I love Peggy. I just want to see Peggy do things.
Yeah.
I don't care about her romance. I just want to see Peggy be Peggy.
Yeah. Honestly, as much as I liked Jason Wilkes, if we had just written out that random romance thing and just had the, like, tiny bit, because it wasn't too much between Sousa and Peggy. We just had, like, enough. If we just had the Sousa-Peggy over the season, that would have been fine. But, yeah, I didn't like the love triangle that they were trying to do because it was just too much.
Yeah, they could have just had them be, like, friends.
Right? And, like, I don't blame him for having a crush on Peggy Carter because she is amazing. But, like, they could have just been friends.
And quite frankly, that's super dangerous for a black man in the 50s.
Yeah, I know. I was, as soon as they kissed for the first time, I was like, wait, was Peggy Carter also one of, like, the first interracial marriages? What is my Marvel canon? What is my Marvel for? Yeah. I was so confused.
No, a lot of people think back. Okay, so in The Winter Soldier, when
there's an interview Steve with is Peggy.
Watching, yeah, and she said, like, oh, my husband was actually saved by Steve in the Battle of whatever in World War II.
Yeah.
And then, like, Sousa makes a comment about having been there. Like,
okay. I couldn't remember that, because I remembered that Peggy said, like, Cap saved who would be my future husband, and I was like, okay, that's Sousa. And then Jason mentioned that he was in the Navy, and I was like, wait, what's happening? I don't remember.
It was
anything.
Like something like a specific war, and like,
okay,
I mean, it's not even like Marvel lore, and they always turn like around and retcon everything.
Yeah.
Anyway, because they don't care about the TV shows.
Yeah.
But anyway. That's a whole... I mean, we could do a total episode about
how... On retcons?
On retcons and how the MCU doesn't care about their TV shows. I mean, like... It's such an easy episode to fill an hour.
Truly. Yeah, I have thoughts. So I know that there's some cutting and stuff, but I figured, do you want to end it by talking about, like, what you would have liked to see in season 3? Or do you want to end it with, like, our thoughts on... Okay.
I mean, I don't really have thoughts on what I would have liked in season 3. I've never really thought about it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, the only thing is, like I said, the only reason I wanted season 3 was just to see this cast again. I wanted to see Hayley Atwell as Peggy. That's one of my favorite things. Also, I would have not liked to tie up the Dottie thing. I just would have liked to see her again. Because my opinion is Dottie shot Thompson.
Oh, well, that's a good theory.
Because all we see is, like, shoes and legs, which we saw earlier. That's how we opened season 2. So I think Dottie shot Thompson, and I would have liked to see her again. And then I would have liked to see Peggy split from the SSR and start founding S.H.I.E.L.D.
I would have just liked a season 3.
Yeah. They, ABC did them dirty.
So dirty. I would have just liked a season 3. Because if they had given them a season 3 and actually marketed the show and actually gave it a good, like, time slot during the week and, you know, like, did something with it, then I think we would have had, like, a really cool series with a big fan base. And I honestly, the fan base was there.
Truly. Just everyone loves Peggy Carter. Yeah.
They just weren't using it. And they were like, well, nobody wants to watch this TV show about women. And I'm like, well, in this year, Our Lord 2018.
Right.
The only Marvel Defenders show that's still standing is Jessica Jones.
Mm-hmm.
So is it? Still Smay.
Oh, yeah. It is. Everything else got cut. Daredevil was the last one. Anyways. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If they did a revival of Agent Carter, I would be here for it.
I would be too. I wish that they would do it. I wish that they had just renewed it when it happened.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of this. And I wish they had... Or, at the very least, I know that season one was only meant to be a one-off, but I would have at least in... Sorry. I would have hoped for them to just create, like, one 22-episode thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? Just, like, one cohesive whole story following Peggy Carter's life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that I would have enjoyed, because then at least I would have gotten 22 episodes of following her, like, year mm-hmm. after year after year after year.
Yeah, for sure. But we that would have been much better. That. Yeah.
So, I, like, I'm just disappointed in how it ended up.
Yeah, I love Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but I'm kind of mad that they got a sixth season, and Agent Carter didn't even get three. Because Agents was supposed to have five. Anyways, we'll get into that when we get to the fifth season.
Yeah, lots of things.
Yeah.
Lots of things. But that's about it. So
I recommend watching both seasons of Agent Carter. One, the first season is better, but the second season, it's good. I'm kind of sad that I took this long to get through it.
Yeah, no, it's really, really good. I really love this show. It makes me very happy. Mm-hmm. I love it. It's such a good show.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's it for today.
Yeah.
We're finally back to updating pretty regularly. I think we're still going to try for weekly, but it might change to every other week.
Yeah.
You can follow me on Twitter at TheSabrinaPet. You can follow Lily at Lily_Rugo. Follow the podcast at EMFangirls. And check out our website, Earth's Mightiest Fangirls. You can also email us at emfangirls@gmail.com.
Yeah, send us some fan mail. And only fan mail. If we get a troll, I'm going to be really mad, but yeah.
Or like porn, I'll be really mad.
Oh, God.
But like anyways. Fan stuff, I'm okay with.
Yeah.
Anyways, we'll be with you till the end of the line.
Next week is Daredevil season 2, which I'm actually watching. I'm halfway through.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe I'll go back and watch season 1. I don't know. And then thank you to Dexter Britton for letting us use their song Wonderland. And thanks to us for editing and producing internationally. I'm just going to keep adding that.
The internationally part?
Yeah, it's impressive.
I feel like it's impressive. Yeah, I mean, like, currently it's 11:17 p.m. on a Friday night. I'm sorry, it is. Like, I'm lame. And it's 11 a.m. 18 for Lily.
Yep.
12-hour difference.
It makes the math real easy.